Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's summer golf wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Good on you, Wallace. Thank you. Yes, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hooked on Sport. It is our end of week preview as we look towards the upcoming round of South Australian Pennant Golf. For the men, it is round three at Royal Adelaide. The women are also at Royal Adelaide, but they open their season. They are big matches all around. We have already talked about the Cooyonga and the Blackwood Golf Clubs and their preparation for the Sanderson Cup. At the end of this episode, you'll hear from the Glenelg Golf Club as well as the Grange Golf Club, Jill Hodge and Millie Winnie to join us. But joining me right now to take us through all of the matches in the Simpson Cup is my great friend and colleague and South Australia's undisputed expert on golf, Sophie Hilditch. Hello, Soph.
Hey, Hookie. Hookie, I'm feeling so left out. Everyone gets to play Pennant Golf this weekend except for my team.
Exactly what I was going to ask. What are you going to do? Are you going to front up and play some golf yourself? Are you going to go out and watch and spy on your upcoming opponents? What's your plan for the weekend?
Look, I am not going to dissolve the Royal Adelaide secrets. They're going to be kept firmly in my pocket. I may be a co-host of this podcast, but I'm also captain of the Royal Adelaide Sanderson team, so no secrets will be spilled. I apologise. I'm not telling you what I will be doing on Sunday or the rest of my long weekend. There might be a couple of vinos in McLaren Vale, but look, I won't be telling anyone.
That's the perfect preparation is just ignore what's going on at Royal Adelaide. I'm off down to the Sea and Vines Festival. Is that what's going on? I've got even no idea. Is there some big event down there for the long weekend?
No, Hookie, just me, myself and a bottle of wine.
Well, no doubt that you'll be, you know, snuffling and, you know, sore throat all the way through next week's episode. That normally is how you back up from a big night. Hey, we're obviously going to do a massive preview with Jill Hodge and Millie Winnie, Glenelg and the Grange, a little bit later on in this show. But why don't we just cover off very quickly on what we think is going to happen with round three of the Simpson Cup for the men. We've apportioned this out equally. I want you to focus on the Royal Adelaide versus Thaxted Park match. Of course, Royal Adelaide are at home taking on Thaxted. Royal with a win over Mount Osmond and a loss to Tea Tree Gully last weekend. Thaxted Park 0-2 at the moment. Give me your first thoughts on this matchup.
Well, I actually think it's a big game for both teams. Royal is currently sitting outside the top four. Facky has had bad losses with 6-1 both games. I think this game means a lot for both teams. I think Royal needs a substantial win on the board, but Facky needs a few more points under the belt. It's a game I'd be interested in watching. I'm obviously supporting my Royal boys. I can't, you know, say that I'm not biased in that regard, but both teams need to come back strong on Sunday.
Righto, so if we're starting with Royal Adelaide, who is your must-win player for the home team?
Look, my must-win player is our number one player, Alex Pacifico. I think he needs a win. He hasn't had a win on the board yet. It's a big ask to play number one. I think it's his first season. No, he's played number one before, but maybe potentially his first season of playing number one for the whole season. He needs a win. He needs a confidence booster. He's the captain of the Royal Adelaide team. He needs to start leading by example. He obviously has a big and tall ask to win at number one. There's a lot of incredible players there. He's got a caddy. It happens to be my partner, Darcy. So maybe Darcy needs to start giving some better advice. But Alex Pacifico, he is my must win for Royal Adelaide.
I tell you what I love that Rod Phillips has done with Royal Adelaide is he's brought a couple of young kids in. So he's giving Billy White and Hudson Haynes an opportunity. And I think they'll be very happy to be back at Royal Adelaide, having gone around to Tea Tree Gully last week and been really valiant and only just gone down. But, I mean, you think about their Bonner Cup team, Michael Richardson's in that team, Henry Perks is in that team, Nathan Kent is in that team. And so the fact that Rod Phillips has stuck his neck out and picked a couple of these young kids is great. That's going to be a really interesting match to watch. But that's it. Yeah, they've just got to hold it together. I reckon they're going to have to try and get their crack against Mount Osmond, and they just don't want to be demoralised too many times in the lead-up to what's going to be a critical match if they can keep it together and stay up. Shall we move on to Glenelg and Grange?
Yeah, let's head over there.
This is a real acid test for Glenelg, Soph, and it's a big acid test for the next generation of this club. Now, Kay Bryant is out. He'll be off to the Riversdale Cup. So then you've got Mick Phillips, Will Starkey and Jackson Leonard as the generation next of Glenelg who have got to stand up. There's no Josh Hayes anymore. There's no Zach Bray. There's no cavalry coming to rescue these guys. These guys are it. They're the future, and it's hitting them in the face right now. Mick Phillips is half a win from two matches. Will Starkey is one win from two matches. Jackson Leonard is one win from two matches. But if ever there is a time that Glenelg Golf Club needs these guys to stand up, it is right now. They should have some confidence. I feel like that they're just going along on two or three cylinders at the moment. But the last time they met the Grange, they won 5.5, 1.5. Wake, Nick Wake, Michael Munn, Jackson Leonard, they all won. If they can all get it done again this time around, then that just takes a lot of pressure off the rest of the order. One thing I've got to say, Glenelg, for all of the energy that they put into Pennant Golf, and that's commendable that they do, the fact that Nick Wake, who is now playing on the senior circuit, is still one of their bankers, that's commendable that he's done that. But the club must be expecting some of those fresh faces that I've just mentioned to really get on board. So that's where I'm at with Glenelg. Grange, I think their selection's going to be interesting. So Blair Christie will be an out. He's also off to the Riversdale Cup. But I suspect Darren Baines and Alex Hendrick will come back in, so they've got to drop one. Will it be Mark DeMarcy, who came in and made a real impact last weekend, beating Tony Nobbs when they played the Vines up at Tea Tree Gully? Or is it someone like Angus Dungy, who's 0-2, but is the future of the Grange as well? So I find this is a fascinating matchup. Glenelg, I feel like, under some real pressure. But I think they'll like the open confines of Royal Adelaide. It's very, very similar to Glenelg, and I reckon this is going to be a fantastic match.
Yeah, I reckon this is going to be an incredible match. Probably the match I'm most excited for out of all four of them. The Glenelg Grange, the natural rival, always good fun, always a good game.
I've got must wins for you, Soph. For the Grange, I think it's Ross Steedman. So He hasn't started the year badly, but the fact is he hasn't been able to find a win yet. So I know the pride that he plays this game with. I know how proud he is of representing his club. We don't quite know who he's going to match up against yet, but I reckon for the Grange, Ross Steedman is a must win, not only for him, but just for his club as well. I think they'd be really leaning on him in particular with Blair Christie out to try and get a scout at the top of the order for them. I've pretty much identified it as the must win for Glenelg in the past, but I reckon it's Jackson Leonard. We spoke a number of weeks ago to Michael Munn. He was really keen to single out Jackson Leonard as the one guy that he wants to stand up for this club. With Kay Bryant out, who knows? Ross Steedman and Jackson Leonard could meet at one, and that would be just a wonderful battle to witness out there at Royal Adelaide. But they're the two guys that I'm identifying. For the Grange, it's Ross Steedman. For Glenelg, it's Jackson Leonard.
Love it, Hookie. Well, should I take you over to the Tea Tree Gully Cooyonga game?
I'd love to, but why don't you give me a tip for Glenelg and Grange, first of all?
Tip for Glenelg and Grange. I think I'm actually going Grange. I know you said that Glenelg will like the open style of Royal Adelaide, but Grange is not that far away from Royal Adelaide. Their bunkers and their greens are pretty similar to ours, and I actually think the course is going to suit Grange even better.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think Grange has a lot less similarities to Royal Adelaide than Glenelg does. But having said that, I just feel like the Grange has a little bit more depth, a little bit more strength in its list. I think Glenelg's top end is very good, but I do feel like they're just that little bit more vulnerable Glenelg. I need to see a bit more from those young kids before I'm really prepared to back them. So I'm tipping Grange in what I think is definitely the match of the week. Right, Tea Tree Gully versus Cooyonga. First thought, Soph?
Well, top of the leaderboard clash. Always exciting. Big game. Both of them have only wins on the board. I would argue that Tea Tree Gully has had the hardest of the two wins out there. Cooyonga, I think, played Thaxted in the first round. So, look, I think it's a massive game. It's an absolutely clash of the titans, and I don't think you could get two more dissimilar teams with equal amounts of strength. Cooyonga is a big hitters team. Absolute big hitters. I've seen those boys around Royal Adelaide. They take on corners that I didn't even know were possible. Can't even watch them play the 13th hole because I think they're just about to snap hook it into the trees. But get it, you know, close to that fairway bunker, something that I can only dream of. The Tea Tree Gully, a bit more of an experienced side, a bit more of a plotter side. They're a bit more strategic around the golf course. It's a complete clash, and I cannot wait to see it unfold.
Who's your must-win for Tea Tree Gully?
Tea Tree Gully, I've actually got Jonathan Creasy. He had a big loss last week, which is never fun to have at your home course. I think Tea Tree Gully, I think I'm going to give away my tip straight away, but I think this course, Royal, suits Kyonga. I think it suits the bigger hitter off the tips at Royal Adelaide, particularly if we manage to get a bit of wind, is going to suit the bigger hitter a little bit more. So I think that Tea Tree Gully need to get a win early on the board, and that's going to come from, hopefully, fingers crossed for them, Jonathan Creasy playing at number 7.
And you must win for Kyonga?
Look, I'm going Malachi Marshall, the youngster. He's actually jumped around the Kyonga team a little bit in the order. He moved up the order last week, and I'm interested in that. I'm interested to see where they're about to play him. I watched him play Simpson Cup maybe only 2 years ago now, potentially one of his debut matches, and he was on the 12th tee and he was hitting driver, and it was pretty impressive. He landed it to about 15 foot on that green, which is just impressive of any club, let alone a driver. He's obviously matured a lot since there. I don't think he's hitting driver on that hole anymore, but I think it's a big win for Kyonga to get one of their up-and-coming golfers into that team, to get him getting wins on that board, I think is the future of the club. So Malachi Marshall is my must win.
I've just got to watch on Freddie Castle. So as successful as Kyonga have been in the first 2 weeks, the tough win over the Grange and then the big win over Thaxted Park. Freddie Castle, state player, he's 0-2, and that start in a lineup that has been as successful as that. So it's certainly not ruling him out, but I just reckon he's one guy that I want to see stand up for Kyonga this week. What's your tip, Tea Tree Gully and Kiwi?
Well, I already gave it away. It's Kyonga. I think the big hitters get it. I think, like I said, this course is going to suit that bigger hitter, but it's going to be tight, Hooky. This is one of those tight games that it could go anyway. It does feel a bit like a coin toss.
I really agree with you. In fact, I think Kyonga is better suited to Royal Adelaide, even than Royal Adelaide. I remember they played a final against each other a couple of years ago when off the Blues. I mean, look, you know, if I was involved in Royal Adelaide's pennant team, I would have been funky and loose and teased up, because I just thought it played into exactly as you identified, Kyonga's hands, who those guys are way longer off the tee. They're going to have mid and short irons in their hands, whereas I just feel like the Tea Tree Gully guys, those older guys, are going to be hitting, you know, some long irons and some hybrids into a few of those greens. So, yeah, I agree with you. Tea Tree Gully in great form, but Kyonga's going to win this one for me. Let's round us out with Mount Osmond at the Vines, hey?
Yeah, let's do it.
I reckon we're going to find out if Mount Osmond has some genuine bona fides. I think they put them on the table here this week. Look, the blue tees will not suit them. And aside from Sam Earle and Ben Pearce, it's probably not really ideal for the Vines either. But I just want to see if Mount Osmond can go around for a third week throwing a few more punches and develop the belief that they belong up. I mean, there is a lot to like. Dan Searle, I like. Ken Chan, I really like. And what a performance his was against Jackson Leonard last week. That fielding, I really like. And he's long. And he's going to really enjoy Royal Adelaide. He may never have played there before. Country lad at Mount Osmond. I think he's someone that I really like as well. And then Dylan Wan, he's the future of the club. Ben Walters, look, in my notes I've written, he has some plums about him. I think you know what I'm talking about. He's just tough, you know. He's just a man's golfer, and I just like that about him. So these guys have worked hard. You can tell that when they got back up into Simpson Cup, they decided, if we are going down, we're not going down without a fight. And they've prepared themselves hard. They're up for the fight, and it's showing. And they're all in it together, so it's only Andrew Edwards who hasn't landed a half point or a point yet. And they've had a really tough draw. They've played the Vines and they've played, sorry, they haven't played the Vines. They're about to play the Vines, but they've played Glenelg and Royal Adelaide. Now, that's last year's winner and last year's semi-finalist. And this time around the Vines, you know, this is a tough draw as well. The only thing I think goes against Mount Osmond is that they don't have many options outside of these 7. So their second team is way down in B2. And it's only 2 weeks, so it's a bit of a small sample size, but they're bottom of B2, so And I look through that list and I don't see too many names that pop off the page. And I say, well, if someone's struggling, at least they've got this guy that they can fall back on. And you look at Kuyonga and you look at Grange and you even look at Royal Adelaide and you always see guys in the Bonner Cup that you think, yeah, well, they can come up and fill a role. Hamish McLay is someone who's played a bit of Simpson Cup 2 years ago, and I feel like he could probably come up and handle it. But I just feel like if these seven lose their way, one of these seven lose their way, that's going to make it very, very difficult for Mount Osmond. But I think I've made this point. They've taken some bark off a few bigger names, and it'll be interesting to see if they can do it once again against the Vines.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that. I hadn't looked down to see where Mount Osmond's second team sat, but that is, it's a good point. It's a huge drop, and they might not have the players to be able to come back up if any one of them gets injured or ill.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, you're going around at the Stirling or, what's another course, in a Hyacombe or somewhere like that, and then all of a sudden you're at Kuyonga or the Grange, you know, it's very, very different style of golf. So I think that is the one challenge that Mount Osmond does have in front of them, is that they're doing it with seven guys, maybe eight guys, whereas a lot of the other bigger clubs have got a squad of 11, 12, 13 players that they can call on and make their way through. Must win. So for Mount Osmond, it's Zach Fielding for me. He's one of the few guys that can handle the length of Royal Adelaide. If he can drive the ball well around Royal Adelaide, and I think about holes like 4, 5, 6, 13, 14, 17, if he can get driver away and clear some of the hazards and put himself in scoring position with even a middle iron against maybe some guys who are going to be coming in with long irons and hybrids, I think he's the sort of guy that can scare the life out of someone for the Vines. And there's really no one outside of Ben Pearce and Sam Earl who are super long for the Vines. So Zach Fielding is the guy that I've identified for Mount Osmond, that if they're going to throw another big haymaker against a big, strong club like the Vines, Zach Fielding's the man to do it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
And for the Vines, it's Charlie Nobbs. I think it's time for Charlie to just take that little bit more responsibility. He's always been the young kid in and amongst the old guys. I mean, he was rushed onto the scene as a 13, 14-year-old. It's a wonderful story. He's playing alongside his dad, Tony, and I love that. And look, they're just such a wonderful family. Tony's the most incredibly nice guy, and Charlie's a wonderful young kid. But look, the last few years, he's just been that little bit inconsistent. He's still developing physically, Soph, and it does make it hard when you're still filling out and going from boy to man, if you like. But this is a real opportunity for him to take on a Mount Osmond player. He gets a matchup that he probably likes here. And I reckon the Vines are a way better side with an informed Charlie. And I think they become pretty scary for one of the big four in a semi-final or a final if Charlie's playing well in the opposition shed. So Charlie Nobbs, in a game against Mount Osmond, he, I reckon, is the must-win for the Vines.
Love it, Hookie. Very good insight.
You want a tip?
Yep, hit me. Hit me with the tip.
Give me yours.
Well, my tip, I think I'm going to have to, I agree. I actually think this one could be a little bit tight, could be a little bit testy for the Vines, but I think I've got to go the Vines.
I'm going to go the Vines as well, but I expect that the Vines walk off this course and they have conceded at least 1.5, maybe 2.5 points. I just feel like Mount Osmond, they're just running on a bit of adrenaline at the moment. I think they're enjoying being part of this. They're not intimidated. They're happy to take these guys on. And I reckon someone for Mount Osmond, maybe two or three guys, are going to stand up and make this a really good fight. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So if it's time to turn to our Sanderson Cup competition and our interview that we have already recorded with Glenelg's Jill Hodge and the Grange's Millie Winnie. Here's Jill Hodge, Millie Winnie with Sophie Hilditch.
Two incredible guests. They're about to tee it up on Sunday against each other for the Sanderson Cup. I have the Glenelg's most experienced Sanderson Cup player, Jill Hodge, as well as Grange's number one player, Millie Winnie. Welcome both to Hooked on Sport.
Thank you, Sophie.
Jill, I have to start with you. You're obviously from Glenelg. You are the premiership winners. You'll be defending your title this year. Can you please tell me what the celebrations were like at Glenelg last year?
Yes, it was pretty exciting because we had so many teams win on the night or the day, and so we celebrated pretty well. I personally didn't have a big one, but the Bonner and the Simpson boys certainly enjoyed the night because we've won a few, but they haven't won too many lately. So it was good to see us all get up at the once. And unfortunately, our Pike girls didn't quite make the four of us all there because they lost on the day. But no, it was a great night and we celebrated well.
Jill, where does that one rank for you? Put aside the celebrations. You know, we're all getting a bit older and we don't go quite as hard as we used to. But the satisfaction for you to be a part of that team in 2025, you've achieved a lot in pennant golf, but where does that one rank?
Yeah, it was pretty special, Ben, especially I played number one all year, which I've never done in my life. So I was in good form leading into the season and I felt like I didn't win too many matches, but I kept up with most of those young girls that are almost professionals. So for me, that was a great achievement, but it was also personally satisfying that we got another win and we all enjoyed it.
Millie, Grange is no stranger to lifting up that Sanderson Cup either. I know you haven't lifted it up in a few years, but I know you have lifted it up in the past. What have you learned in the past few years, potentially not making the grand finals, that you take into this upcoming season?
This year particularly, we want to focus on just taking each game as it comes, each match as it comes, and sort of not giving up too early and I guess just fighting really hard for it and, yeah, just doing the best we can and being around each other as a team. I know at the club especially, we've tried to get the women and the men to mix a bit more, so hopefully that team environment can help us this year.
Millie, 3.5 out of 4 wins last year. I mean, the semi-final must have been disappointing. Is that the sort of thing that you use to inspire yourselves and take into the following season?
Yeah, I think close games are always hard. Like, it can go either way and it's always pretty tight when it gets to the end. But as long as we stay, I guess, positive in ourselves and play the best golf we can, hopefully we can do a bit better this year.
Millie, you spoke about Grange men and women bonding a little bit more. Is that helped by any chance of having your partner in the Grange's Simpson team? And have you been on the bag yet?
No, I'm not on the bag. He's got a caddy, Paul Thomas, so that's been really good for him. Blair actually returned the favour for senior pennant, so he caddied for a couple games there. But no, I think it's been really good. The club's kind of tried to organise a couple of different things where all the teams can sort of mix, and rather than before it was a little bit divided, it's been good to sort of mix and meet new people. And even though we're members at the same club, it's nice to, like, I guess, talk about something else with people. And yeah.
Millie, do you recommend that as a strategy for Royal Adelaide? You know, Royal Adelaide hasn't won the Simpson Cup for about 75 years. Do you think some of their young players should, you know, scour Australia for the best young amateurs and try and turn them into boyfriends and bring them to Adelaide and represent Royal? Is that a good policy?
I'm not sure about that one, but no, it's been really good having Blair at Grange. So, yeah, I mean, I can't fault having a boyfriend that plays pennant. Yeah, no, it's good.
Jill, you've played the majority of your pennant in winter and there was a change last year to move it over to summer. How have you found the change and what are you looking forward to most with this season again being in summer?
Yeah, I like it much better because I hated playing in the cold and wind and rain. I remember one day somewhere it just rained all day, so it doesn't give us the chance to play really good golf. So I really like it. And, yeah, I think it's hopefully it will stay there forever.
Jill, amazing that you won the title last year. The one thing you must have enjoyed, and this is the beauty of golf, is that there was a period of time that you were playing in the same team as your daughter, Josie. So two parts to this question. One, how much fun was that being in the same team as your daughter? And number two, have you thought about recruiting her back out and giving her another go?
Yes, I'd love her to come back and have another go, but unfortunately she's got two young children and doesn't really play much anymore. So she's a member at rest at Glenelg at the moment. But yes, it was pretty special. That's one of my highlights in my career, was winning a premiership with Josie and the team. And we've won a couple of foursomes and things like that together at Glenelg. So it's great.
It's pretty special. Millie, this year the Sanderson have had a bit of a change. There's always been a traditional, well, for a little bit we had Southern join us, but there's traditionally always been five teams in Sanderson. This year Golf Australia has changed it to only have the top three make finals. Has that changed your approach this year for the minor rounds?
I think it's definitely put more, not pressure, but I think more emphasis on how important those minor rounds really are. I think it'll be important for the girls to sort of, I mean, everyone tries their best, but sort of hang in there even when it is getting close and sort of back themselves in. But I don't think it's really changed a lot. I think it's just going to be a bit different this year.
Millie, you've got a tea time, of course, representing the Grange on Sunday, but are you going to back it up early in the week? I imagine there's Monday qualifying for the Australian Open. You're no stranger to an Australian Open. Will you have another dip?
Yeah, I'm in to play Monday, so hopefully I can do my best there and, yeah, hopefully I can qualify.
How many Australian Opens have you played? You've definitely played the one that was at Victoria and Kingston Heath. I reckon that was 2022. Is that your only one?
Yeah, that's the only one. I've been to a couple of qualifyings. When I played that Australian Open, I actually won the qualifier. Soph and I travelled together for that one, so that was really fun. I've played a couple of Vic Open pre-qualifyings, which I've been lucky enough, or played well enough, I should say, to get through that. So hopefully I can do it again next week.
Yeah, it was a fun trip. It was pretty exciting when you top qualified, and then I had to unfortunately borrow your car so that I could drive all the way to Riversdale because I didn't top qualify or make it the Aussie Open. Jill, how's your team shaping up this year? Are we going to be expecting a similar turn up to Glenelg like we'd had last year?
Yeah, I think so. I think most of the girls are all available. Obviously, we haven't selected our teams yet, so I have no idea. That's tomorrow. It's pretty much looking like the same. I think Sarah Crocker will be back in our team full time because last year she sort of came back from having a baby and went through Pike Cup and came to our team in the finals. So that'll boost our team a bit stronger, I think. We welcome her back with open arms. And yeah, the rest of the girls are all playing good golf, I think. So we should be pretty competitive.
Jill Zoe Manton is FOTP, friend of the podcast here at Hooked on Sport. We've had her as a guest on a couple of times now. For someone who I think is still a junior, what an impressive young woman she is. She must, I guess, give someone more experienced like you, Jill, that real new lease on life to see someone who comes in with such a fresh face, but that real professional attitude for someone so young.
Yeah, she comes from a great background of her family, and they're all lovely people, and she's a lovely girl, and she's our junior captain at Glenelg. We introduced a junior captain a few years ago, and her brother, Alex, was the junior captain, and then at Zoe's taken over that role in the last 2 years. So, yeah, she's actually not a junior anymore because she's turned 18. Yeah, she's a great player and she's in good form.
Millie, you're obviously having a lot of success as an amateur golfer for Australia and South Australia, but what does it mean to you when you put on that green shirt and you play for Grange in the Sanderson Cup?
It's pretty special. I'm lucky I've had the opportunity to play at Grange since I was roughly 13, so I've had a lot of support from the club over the years. So I guess for me it's nice to be able to sort of give back to the club in a way. I do my best to sort of play with a lot of the ladies on a Saturday morning. Yeah, it's nice to be able to wear the logo and wear it with pride and know that everyone's supporting from the club. So yeah, it's good.
Millie, Soph and I spoke to Ross Steedman a couple of weeks ago. He talked about how the men have their number on their cap. Is that a tradition that's carried over to the women, or is that something that maybe is down the track for you guys?
I know the club did look into it. Unfortunately, the records are a little bit lost somewhere, so we haven't been able to implement that. Yeah, hopefully someone can find something so we can have that number on our hats as well. Yeah, no, it's been good for the men. I think it gives them something to feel, I guess, that they're not playing for, but they've got part of the club behind them.
Jill, we were talking about you've obviously lifted up the Sanderson Cup alongside your daughter, which is incredibly special. You've lifted it up a few times. Do you have an individual moment within pennant that you would say would probably be your favourite moment?
Oh, that is a hard one for me. I have a few blurred memories of ones that I played with all my state colleagues back in the day with the Jandale Harris and Kath Farmans and co. They were pretty special because we all played state golf together and, you know, won a fair few premierships in that time. I think last year was pretty special too. Hopefully we can keep it going.
Well, guys, I hope for the both of you, obviously hope not too hard, that you both can lift up that Sanderson Cup one more time. I want to wish you both the best of luck for this weekend and the upcoming season. And thank you both for coming up on Hooked on Sport. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you guys both throughout the season because you're both big members of the Grill and Elk and Grange Golf Club. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sophie. Thanks, Ben.
Sophie, well done. Great interview. Have you learned enough of your opponents that you feel like you can run them down over the course of the next 6 weeks?
I think they kept their cards pretty close to their chest, but I couldn't expect anything less or more, I guess, from Jill and Millie. They've been around the tournament for a long time, so I think they're going to keep their secrets to themselves, and I don't blame them for that.
I'm probably reflecting back to earlier in the week when we caught up with Hannah Custance from the Blackwood Golf Club, but I really feel like for the first time in a long time, there is five genuine live chances in this competition. It's really only been the big four tier one clubs that have been genuine contenders. But Ebony Riordan coming into that Blackwood side alone, I think makes a real difference. And they are going to be a threat.
It definitely does. Blackwood is a big threat this year. I think people probably counted them out a little bit too early in the last two seasons. They were pretty close to making the semi-final last year. They were only one or two games off it. It wasn't Blackwood weren't in it at all. I agree. Their team is much stronger than what it has been in the past, but Blackwood has been around the mark for a while, and I'm glad to see them get a few extra players. I think Hannah spoke about it, but the culture at Blackwood is great, and you can see it immediately when you go to play a Sanderson game at Blackwood. They always have members out, and they do have a good junior program coming up. So I'm glad to see that that is starting to pay off. It's shaping up to be an excellent Sanderson season. I cannot wait to play. I'm disappointed I'm not playing this week, but you know what? 2 weeks out, I can't wait to put on that red, white, and gold, and I can't wait to get out there, and I can't wait to see what those Sanderson girls do on Sunday.
If you missed our Sanderson Cup preview with Blackwood and Cooyonga, please go back and find that. It was released on Tuesday of this week. We also dropped our women's roundtable, which was Sarah Cheer, Sarah King, Anne-Marie Knight, with Sophie Hilditch, talking about just the array of opportunities that are beginning to emerge for women in golf, not just as players, but as administrators, coaches. It was a fascinating discussion. And so if I just want to commend you on all of the work that you have done. I mean, you're a player, a golf club member, but what you are doing advocating for golf in general, but women in golf in particular, is just outstanding. I know all of our listeners are really appreciating your insights and your expertise, but the way you've been able to bring so many other people into the game and cast a spotlight on them, you should be really commended, mate. You've done a wonderful job this week, but also over the last 7-8 weeks, in particular with your focus on golf. Thank you so much on behalf of the golf community for what you've done.
Oh, Hookie, that's way too kind. I can't say that I've been doing that much, but I'm enjoying every single moment of talking golf. It's a massive passion of mine, and it's right, it's about time that there's a bit of light shone on some of our South Australian golfers and Australian golf in general. I'm so excited to talk golf about with you, talk golf every single week with you. I think it's important that that Australian perspective on even the international golf over in the US is out there and out and about. So I'm glad that our listeners are joining in, listening in and enjoying every moment, because I definitely am as well.
Our focus, of course, next week will be the Women's Australian Open. Pennant Golf will take a 1 week hiatus. So the Women's Australian Open ahead of us. And then, because we have previewed 8 men's Simpson Cup teams and 4 women's Sanderson Cup teams, I will be taking the opportunity to put you as the captain of the Royal Adelaide Golf Club Sanderson Cup team through the ringer with an insightful, difficult, hard-hitting interview ahead of your opening match, which, of course, is in a couple of weeks' time, so.
Well, that's the first I'm hearing of it, so I look forward to it.
great chat, great week. Well done. Look forward to doing it all again with you next week.
Thanks, Hooky. See you next week.
Bye.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.